The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi there, this is Neil Reynolds. Just a reminder that our podcast is in association with Elite Sports Travel, and there are packages available now through Elite Sports Travel for Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. So make sure you get involved in that. You can book your trip to the biggest of all American football shows. Go to elitesportstravel.co.uk. Let's get on with this week's episode.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with Elite Sports Travel. Now, as we have done many of these episodes with stars from the NFL, whether it be players or coaches, we're going a little bit different this week with a star from the Premier League, Everton goalkeeper Asmir Begovic. He is a huge NFL fan. And when I say huge, I mean he is a proper NFL anorak. So let's hear my conversation with Everton goalkeeper Asmir Begovic.
Thanks for having me on.
No worries.
Yeah, appreciate it. Always good talk NFL. I don't get to do it enough. So
Exactly. We can do that right now. Asmir, thank you for joining me. Full disclosure at the start, because I was going to list what team you play for, but I'm a Liverpool fan, so I'm just going to say you don't have a. I'm just going to say you don't have a team. Is that all right?
No, I don't have.
It's not a good start, is it? I shouldn't start that way, really.
No. You could have kept this. Kept that one till the end.
I should have kept that to the end. Tell me a little bit about yourself growing up. Your family fled the Bosnian War at the age of four, and then you went to Canada, didn't you? Is Canada where you first was experiencing American football?
Yeah, so a little bit about my life story. I hope I'll keep it short and sweet because I'm not sure how much time we have, but it's definitely been very eventful from the beginning. And as you rightly said earlier, I left Bosnia at the age of four. I actually ended up moving to Germany from Bosnia. Spent 6 years there, and then ended up moving to Canada when I was 10. So. Spent 6 years there, and then I came to England in 2003. So as a 16-year-old. So been here ever since. Obviously, been here a long time, on and off, a couple loan spells here and there, as you do as a footballer. But yeah, when I was in Canada, that was the time I picked up all my North American sports leagues, and obviously became a fan of the NFL at that time.
What was it that drew you to the NFL, do you think?
Well, my first memories of the NFL, really watching it live, was the early sort of 2000s, and that was Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's when the dynasty started. So they had me hooked. I loved the game. I mean, I loved watching it as a fan, and then really started to dig in even more and really understand the game as much as I could. But that was the sort of first memories that I have, and that's why I became a Patriots fan and a Tom Brady fan at that as well. So it was a really nice run that we had for many years.
As a teenager, did you consider playing, or were you already on the goalkeeping part? Were you well along the path of being a goalkeeper by then?
Well, Neil, being a goalkeeper was my dream from the day I was born. It was in my family.
Right.
That's all I ever wanted to do. But at the same time, I loved sports from a really, really young age. Played everything and anything that really I could. Being in Canada helped out a bit more because soccer, as they call it, we had some long, harsh winters. So during the winter time, you were allowed to play you know, you had the time really to play other sports, the basketballs, the volleyballs, you know, sports like that. Ice hockey was incredibly popular over there. I love to play with my friends, didn't get into it competitively. And that's the same with American football. I played a little bit of flag football for fun and things like that. But due to the physicality and my focus being on goalkeeping, my parents wouldn't let me play American football or ice hockey. But yeah, no, I gave it a go at quarterback, and I think it would have made a decent tight end as well. So,
well, I was just going to ask about the hand-eye coordination. Surely that would have been the natural route, wouldn't it? At 6 foot six.
Yeah, I could have followed in Gronkowski's or Kelsey's footsteps. You never know. But, you know, it was fun while it lasted. Let's put it that way.
You mentioned Tom Brady then. And I'm sure sports, you would have liked him as a you know, person getting into the NFL. Of course, everyone was following the Tom Brady story. But as a sportsman, a professional athlete yourself, what have you admired about him during the course of what was an unprecedented career? We just got to wait and see if he's fully retired again, because you never know. He seems to be struggling with that one. But what was it you admired about Tom?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a hero of mine. I think, you know, with the likes of yourself as well, Neil, and everyone watching the game, I think we can all appreciate somebody who does his craft at the highest level. And I think as an athlete, the biggest thing for us, you know, that we respect in other athletes is the longevity. Being able to do it consistently at the highest level for so many years is the thing that really separates the other, you know, athletes between each other, and really the great from the good, and so on and so forth. I think, can you do it for a long time? Can you do it at the highest level? And of course, he's combined that better than any player in the NFL really before, as you rightly say, until now, unless he continues somewhere else. But you know, that's the part I really appreciate, is his dedication to his craft, to his game, to getting better all the time, to pushing himself, you know. And that's the biggest thing that drives us. You know, I know as an athlete, the thing, you know, that keeps me going is that drive. As soon as you lose that drive, everything else doesn't matter, because, you know, you're the one who has to push yourself every single day. And I think he did that to the highest level for so many years.
So on the pushing every day, I was at training camp in New England. I think it was the 2012 season. So he had already won 3 Super Bowls by then. Brandon Lloyd joined the Patriots, wide receiver. And I watched Brady at practice for 3 hours. And then he took Brandon Lloyd over to another practice field after practice. Everyone had left. And they must have been there another 45 minutes just working on their timing, on their passes, how they were going to work together. And that's a part of it, you know, because you have to train every day. And sometimes a wet Monday morning when no one's looking, you still have to be at your best. That must be something that as an athlete you recognize. Brady was never kind of off. He was always on it on a practice day. And as soon as he won a championship, he wanted to win the next one. But it was just that day in and day out, how hard that must be for an athlete, because there must be days where you don't fancy it.
Of course. And that's, again, well, that's the part that we appreciate the most. You know, it's that relentless pursuit of getting better, of improvement every single day, every single week. And, you know, it's really ingrained in you. I think it's something that is very difficult to learn almost. I think you can try and teach it. You can try and talk to people about it. But I think either the work ethic is something you understand from really an early age or the early days as a pro, or you don't. You know, how many professionals do we know really, no matter what the sport is, will say, oh, I wish I'd just done a little bit more, or I wish I trained a little bit more, whatever the case may be. So for him to have that work ethic really from such a young age, even throughout his college years, overcoming, you know, his shortcomings or whatever they may be, I think that's the part that's obviously incredibly, where we have an incredible amount of respect for him. And that story you just said, that sums him up. I think, you know, that sort of little drive to just really work on those finer details and really master them as well as he could, I think, is what made him so special.
Do you have a favorite Brady moment, a Brady game that you liked the most?
Well, the favorite Brady game was of course the comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. You know, coming back from 28-3 was pretty special. You know, I think that all of his Super Bowls, of course, had different highlights, and there's no doubt about it. I think even you know, how he came back from such with such a vengeance from a suspension. His four-game suspension was pretty impressive. You know, he has this sort of him against the world and, you know, when he really wanting to prove people wrong. So I think it has to be the comeback against the Falcons. I'm sure I can name others, but I think coming back from 28-3, I mean, is something, especially in that moment, you know, a regular season game is hard enough.
Right.
But in a Super Bowl is incredible. How about you? What's your
yes.
memory?
So that one, I would say. I think so. I've enjoyed watching it. He's demolished a couple of teams in London, which I enjoyed watching, you know, face to face and seeing that up in the flesh. But that Super Bowl is the one. It felt inevitable as it was going along in the second half. Like you said, there was no room for error. It was the biggest of stages. And he delivered, and that was not the end of it. That was the great part of it, is that he didn't feel like I'm done then. And actually, he might have been the best player on the field the night he lost the Super Bowl. It was there when he lost to the Eagles. Yeah. He was spectacular for over 500 yards. I mean, the guy, of course, is an absolute legend. Do you think he's done?
No, I have this hope that he's not done. I mean, I refuse to believe that he's done.
I think he refuses to believe it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating one, Neil. I can't get my head around it, you know, to be so good. I get it, you know. We talked earlier about that commitment, that dedication to your craft and how much that takes it out of you and takes it away from other things that you do in your life and your family and everything else. But it's just difficult to see when he's still so good. How he could sort of pack it in. And you know, I just see out there, I mean, you know, a little bit more what the word in the street is and what the rumor mill has in store for us. But when I look at a couple of these teams, you know, whether it's a San Francisco 49ers or a Miami Dolphins, who, yeah, maybe are that quarterback away, right? I mean, they have so many other pieces.
I saw Tom playing in Munich this year, and trust me, he can still throw it. I was at that game and he was outstanding. His arm strength has not waned at all. Second to last game of the regular season when he needed to deliver against Carolina to win the division, 400 yards passing and four touchdowns. Absolutely. At the age of 45. So he can still do it. And obviously, Bill Belichick was his coach for many years. Throughout your career, have you preferred a Belichick type as a coach or more that Sean McVay put an arm around the guys, because they're very different types of coaches in the NFL now. And I'm sure it's the same in the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, definitely everyone has their own ways. Right. But I think overall that sort of hard-nosed coaching that Belichick has, and, you know, maybe the Mike Rabels now, this sort of type of coach, I think that they're always going to get more out of teams. You know, I think they have a very good side to them. Of course, I think there's a human element to it where they manage relationships really, really well. But that sort of disciplined attention to detail approach, pushing guys physically to their maximum as well, I think is the one that brings you the most success. I think, you know, even Andy Reid probably has a bit of a soft outside demeanor, but I think underneath it all, he's an incredibly driven man and someone who's, I'm sure, very hard to please if you're a player. So I still think as a coach or head coach, whatever it may be, I think you really need that strong, hard-nosed approach to things.
I wanted to mix in a couple of bits of your career and how they compare to the NFL. So obviously Portsmouth, Stoke, Chelsea, Bournemouth, now Everton. There, I said it. I said it. It was all right. I said it.
There you go. Yeah. It didn't feel so bad after all, did it?
No, it was all right. I spoke to Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot. He joined me on the Super Bowl on Sky Sports. We've become friends over the years. He's talked about the challenges of moving from team to team. So for you, what's that like for you when you've had to move from a family point of view, but also from a professional point of view, new dressing room, new players? What's that like every time you've had to move?
Yeah, I mean, different challenges at different times. Right, Neil. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at moving and changing teams, you know, I'm sure Ryan Fitzmagic, as we like to call him, would have said about the language thing. It's almost like a different language. So different coaches, different people have a, you know, football, yes, it's very similar in a way, but everyone does certain things differently. And and day-to-day routines and how they approach the game. So I think it's trying to learn a new language every time you go into a new club and seeing how people work, how they operate, and really trying to fit in into that. So I think there's always that professional element. So there's always a challenge. There's a natural challenge. There's no doubt about it. I mean, even for me now, I joined Everton at 34 thinking, yeah, you've seen it all, but there's still different ways of working. People have a different routine in a week. And so you're always learning. I think it freshens things up a little bit, which is always exciting. But then, of course, I think as you get older, it really becomes more challenging off the field. You know, you'll have kids, you'll have responsibilities, families you have to look after. They're in schools, whatever, maybe settled, friends. So I think the challenge has become more off the field rather than on the field, because you kind of get used to it. You understand, okay, I'm going to have to learn here, be really attentive to all the information you're given. But I think the challenge for most players will probably be more off the field rather than on the field.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Neil, just had my drink of water. Again, which I seem to do before we start talking about Elite Sports Travel. They make me feel so tired and thirsty. In our last episode, you were talking about AFC West when you said that the Super Bowl was going to be in Vegas and the Raiders won't be there, but our listeners could be.
Yep, there are Super Bowl packages from Elite Sports Travel now available. And I mean, this is going to be a show, isn't it? Super Bowl, it's the greatest show on earth in Las Vegas. Clients of Elite Sports Travel will be staying at the 5-star Venetian on the Strip, and they put on events for their fans, for their clients that come over. They really treat them so well. We had a drinks event in Phoenix. It was myself hosting. Jason Bell was there. We had F.A. Abada from the Washington Commanders, Darren Fletcher. From IT. We had a real good, because FA was going to be on Sky that weekend, and Darren and Jason were on ITV. So we had a bit of a Sky versus ITV lineup. And then there were some unannounced guests who kind of came along and were part of it. Will Gavin was there from TalkSport, but of course, everyone loved meeting Vernon Kay and spending time with him as well. So it was a really, really good night. So that will be a part of what you do in Vegas. We'll have a drinks event. Where we'll bring in some special guests that you can meet. I'll be there hosting that. They're staying at the Venetian, right? That's the one with the gondolas that go along the river inside, isn't it? Fantastic.
Lovely. I just want to ask, actually, what is it like when Sky and ITV come together? Because I'm thinking, you know, Anchorman, the different news channels coming together, Neil Reynolds holding a pickaxe. You know, Darren Fletcher's got a sword and everyone's attacking each other.
Well, I thought we'd keep it civil and like just have a war of words. And then I realized that if we had a fight, it was Jason Bell and Darren Fletcher and me and Effie. So I thought, well, let's have a fight then.
Well, you could just stand behind Effie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Let me at him, Effie.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, come on. Oh, no, it's all good. Look, I always say this: we're all on the same team here. Really, we're all trying to get fans in, and we're trying to entertain the fans who become NFL fans. If they watch on ITV and love the sport, they're going to come to watch on Sky. So it's all good for me, and we'll all come together, I'm sure, in Vegas again. So yeah, those Vegas Super Bowl packages are available. Of course, the game itself is a great selling point. Las Vegas is a great selling point. Being on the Strip in the Venetian is a selling point. And meeting me is a selling point. But just a little one.
But also the game is nearly a year away. So if you're booking now or you're planning to book now, you can start putting the money in that piggy bank and watch it build up so you can spend it in Vegas.
Yeah, and with Elite Sports, you can spread the cost of the trip then, so you don't get hit all in one go. So now is a good time to be saying, I'm going to go to that Super Bowl in Las Vegas, hit up Elite Sports Travel, and you can spread your payments. So here's the important bit. Go to elitesportstravel.co.uk.
Right, and we'll get back into the episode.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
I'm not across the Premier League the same way I am the NFL. I'm a fan of the Premier League and the football, of course, but I'm not up to speed with all the ins and outs. And I don't know, do as many players in the Premier League have foundations and charitable organizations as they do in the NFL? It seems like everyone in the NFL seems to have one. And I know you have the Asmir Begovic Foundation. And I wonder if that was something that was maybe influenced by NFL players, or is it something that a lot of Premier League players have?
No, it's definitely more common in America, Neil. Right, I think I'll be honest. I think along the NFL, I'm sure the other sports, I definitely feel like it's a lot more common over there. Did I get some inspiration from that? Of course I did. You know, I think some of the athletes that I look up to, whether it's Tom Brady's, LeBron James's, Tiger Woods, they all have a foundation. And I've always been very passionate about giving back. So I think it was definitely inspired by some of those athletes. Why wouldn't they? You know, I think they've done some great things on the field and off the field. The inspiration was there, but I definitely feel like it's a lot more common over there on the other side of the Atlantic rather than here. But not saying that, in different ways, I think players and people here in England, especially in Premier League, do some really great work in other ways, maybe not directly attached to a foundation, but you know, I think they all try and make a positive influence on things.
And your foundation, what is that about? How does that kind of drive you?
Yeah, Neil, so that my foundation, gosh, we were running almost 10 years. We officially opened sort of back end of 2013. So we started 10 years ago. So I've always, like we talked here on the podcast today, I love sports. And I think sports is such a unique way of bringing people together. And I think it gives opportunities to all sorts of people, kids, whoever it may be. And I think it's a great way of bringing people together. So what I really wanted to focus on was trying to build sports facilities, or try and rebuild them, redecorate them, refurbish them, playgrounds, you know, kids and people to be active, social, get off the streets, do different things. And I think it's something that works really well. We do most of our work back home in Bosnia. It's a country that needs help and support, so we would probably focus our attention a little bit there. But we've done some projects here in the UK, so I always feel like you can do a lot of good. You know, everything helps, and every little helps, and I think it's a nice way to contribute and get to know your local community as well.
Yeah, good for you. The NFL draft is coming up at the end of April. I know you don't just enjoy it; you study it, don't you? I know this from talking to you before, because we did a podcast. I think I came on your podcast.
You did
a few years back. And I was really nervous afterwards. I was like, did I come across all right? Because Asmir clearly knew a lot more about some of these players than I did. You do like to study it, don't you?
Yeah, I love it, honestly. I mean, I love the NFL in general. It's a great time of year now, Neil, isn't it? I mean, this is
hope,
awesome.
Hope, right? Springs eternal, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this time of year, we've got free agency next week.
Yeah.
Obviously, the franchise tags, all sorts of things are happening already. Building up to that, and then obviously finishes up with the draft. So I absolutely love it. I love that sort of transactional side of the game. As you rightly say, there's a lot of hope, but you know, maybe that's something for me down the line when I finish playing. But I love the construction of rosters and how people think, especially in America, the managing of the cap. I think it's fascinating. Mm. I mean, some big decisions, tough decisions have to be made. So I'm super excited for the draft, but also free agency as well.
This question I'm about to ask you, if you stay silent for 3 seconds, I will know just to move on, because it might be a little bit unfair because you are a Premier League player, but could the Premier League benefit from more competitive balance?
Yes. Yes.
Because there's only certain numbers of teams that are going to win the title, right?
Yeah. And, you know, people used to talk about a top four, and now it's sort of a top six. And,
right.
You know, again, money talks, and it's just the thing that if you have more of it, and Newcastle, I mean, fair play to them, of course, you have to do it. You have to achieve it, so the money is not everything. But yeah, it's a lot more. That's why actually I probably watch a lot more of the American sports, because of that competitive balance. And I know maybe it's not the right way that you can go from worst to best or whatever. Maybe, of course, like you get a reward for sort of being the worst team. So I get that side of things as well. But it does make it a lot more entertaining. I think I look at all the fan bases, the leagues, anyone can win it. You know, you can be very competitive very quickly. So I think there's a lot to be said about that. You know, I think I've talked to many people before. I don't know how you would even begin to change and realign things over here to change it. You know, it's so ingrained now that it's really difficult to make any adjustments. Although it is getting better. I mean, in the Premier League, Neil, let's be honest, the Premier League is probably the league that there is a little bit more movement. You know, teams break in a little bit more, and top to bottom is the most competitive still, I think, over here.
Let's talk a couple of bits more about the sport you love, the NFL. Stadiums you'd love to visit. Any on the to-do list?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them. I guess a couple in particular. You know, I have to say that I need to get to Foxborough. I mean, I need to go watch the Patriots. It's on my bucket list. I tried to get to a couple of playoff games, you know, and things like that. It's just so difficult because our season runs parallel and it's difficult. So I need to get to Foxborough first and foremost. And then I think a couple of other stadiums that look pretty amazing. And again, I'd love to hear from you on that. But I'd love to get to Vegas. I mean, you know, Allegiant Stadium looks unbelievable. And then, of course, LA as well. The new stadiums look pretty awesome. I think, you know,
SoFi last December, the first time I've been there in December. Yeah. And it's one of those, it was a Thursday night game. It was the Rams and the Raiders. They were both having bad seasons. And I'm sure this is the case even when it's playoff teams in there. It felt like I was watching the players on the field. They were the stars, but the stadium was the star as well. That was the thing, as the stadium was as big a part of the attraction. I think you've got to go to Lambeau. I would recommend Lambeau Field to anyone. Yeah. Lambeau's so unfussy. You know, it's bleachers. There's no backs to some of the seats, but it's right there in the middle of town. One still on my list. I've never been to Arrowhead. I want to go to Arrowhead, watch a Chiefs game. That'd be pretty right. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some great. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't be fussy. I'd go to any single one, but I think just a couple of those new ones look incredible. But as you rightly say, those traditional stadiums still have a lot of power. You know, at the Kansas City and, of course, Lambeau. Cowboys games look pretty insane as well, I have to say. So, you know, I'm hoping to do a good little trip in a few years' time.
This is going to be the retirement plan. This is the retirement plan. Let's say you're down to your last $150. You can pay to watch any player in the NFL today. Let's assume Tom stays retired, so we'll park Tom Brady. Who would it be? Who's kind of must watch in the NFL for you?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a little bit of a boring answer, right? You know, but it has to be Patrick Mahomes. He's box office, right? He's worth every penny, I think. One thing, I love the fact he plays. Obviously, he plays through pain, so you're guaranteed to almost watch him play.
Yes, we saw that at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, which is you know, incredible. And I think he can do so many things. It's so exciting. Really lights up games, and there's not too many dull moments. So I think I'd love to see Pat Mahomes. I think, I guess, from the other sort of crop of players, maybe younger players coming through. I'd like Trevor Lawrence. Looks like he could be a star coming up. You know, I think I need to go watch him as soon as I can.
They just have that it factor. Like Trevor Lawrence in the comeback against the Chargers in the playoffs, as they came with two touchdowns back, 7 points back, and he was waiting to get the ball back, and he wasn't nervous. He was kind of, he winked at one of his teammates, he smiled, but he was like patrolling up and down like a caged lion. He was like, get me back on this field. That's what it is, right? And Mahomes, yeah. When you watched the second half of the Super Bowl, I felt like I was watching history. Something in 10 years from now, we'll be talking, do you remember when Mahomes won that Super Bowl on one leg? That was the kind of thing, a bit like Brady with the Super Bowl in Houston. That's what these guys can do. Lawrence with that big comeback, Mahomes. And some of that, you can't, as a sportsman, you can't bottle that, can you? You've either just, or you can't train for it. You've either just got it or you haven't, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, like I said, you're born with a bit of that killer instinct and that competitive nature in you. I mean, as you rightly say, especially Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's done it from his college days. I mean, I remember he was incredibly clutch and always up for it at Clemson during his college days. I know that Pat Mahomes had a little bit of a sort of, I wouldn't say a less stellar college career, but right. He was a little bit more under the radar. Whereas obviously Trevor Lawrence has had this light shining on him for quite a while, you know, like the Caleb Williams is now, you know, they think they're going to change these big, big prospects that come around every few years. And he had so much pressure on him. And now to take the Jaguars franchise again on and hopefully lift him to the next level and compete for championships, I think is super impressive.
What do you think, let's finish up, what do you think of the growth of the NFL internationally? We've got three more games in London this year, two in Germany, from the game side, first of all, because it was a big thing to bring one regular season game to Europe, and it's now become, you know, we had three announced this year for this coming season, and I don't think anyone really batted an eyelid. It was expected. That's quite a leap in 15 years.
It is a huge leap, and I think the growth has been tremendous. I mean, the NFL has become so global now, which is amazing to see. You know, of course, for us here in the UK, it's great to have as many games as we can. It's become normal. I mean, even before, I remember it was a big thing. You know, of course, you had to have the bye week after, and
yeah,
everything was really scheduled around that. Whereas now they're just playing the next week after. It's like a normal thing, a trip to London.
Well, I used to host the big events like in Regent Street, or there were like 10,000 people in Trafalgar Square, and people would say to me, "Why don't you do those anymore?" I was like, "Because we have too many games. We can't do that every time they come over. It's too expensive." So it has become normal. It's great.
Yeah, it's become very much the norm. I think the expansion into Germany is great. I think having a couple games there, I think maybe one more game, sort of five or six, is great. I'm not sure you'd want to see one every week. I think there's still that you want to watch the games in America and see the home fans. And I even love it when they travel. I mean, I know people say it's like it's not a home field advantage, but you see like when Pittsburgh travels and you see Steeler fans everywhere. Right. Packer fans, Cowboy fans, Patriots fans. So I think that's always great. I think I like that little bit of mingling when see the home and away fans, kind of like we do here in Europe. So, you know, I think there's maybe room for one more, but that's sort of five or six. I know there's a game in Mexico. So I think they do a really good job of growing the game globally. But, you know, I think they're almost close to a limit.
I guess what they've done differently, and I guess you would relate to this. You have your goalkeeper academy. You're trying to bring on the next generation of young players playing at your position. And the NFL, of course, have the NFL Academy in London. They have the International Player Pathway Program. So those are proper routes. They're not just come in, play some games and leave. That's encouraging, isn't it? We're going to see more and more players from around the world playing in the NFL.
Honestly, they are almost a benchmark in so many ways. I think from games, the qualities, the urgency in games, the fan experience. I don't know how they're growing globally. I think the Premier League, so many leagues can learn. You know, they've grown it immensely, and it's great to see, you know, players in the UK now from Europe playing in the NFL. And, you know, the NBA did a great job. If you look at now, their best players are mostly international players. So it's just amazing to see. I mean, you can affect so many people with sport globally. With your leagues and the power of the brand that they have is incredible. And yeah, it's great to see. And hopefully more and more kids start playing that game and playing in the NFL, which would be amazing.
Asmir, last one. I want to know what would fill you with greater fear. Okay. So peak Mo Salah bearing down on goal one-on-one, or you're the safety and here comes Derrick Henry.
Oh, what is without a shadow of a doubt, King Henry is there, you know, running me down, running at me. Sorry, I think that has to take number one spot, really, because that doesn't look very enjoyable, I have to say. I mean, I don't know any of those guys. I mean, I have such huge respect the physical toll on these guys. I mean, whether it's King Henry running at you or, I mean, some of those defensive linemen as well as a quarterback. I mean, people are like, oh, Tom Brady doesn't look as comfortable in the
You must really appreciate the catches. Some of the one-handed catches, like George Pickens. We had the Justin Jefferson this past season. You must appreciate that part of it as well, because obviously that's a big part of your game.
Absolutely. I mean, the game, the athleticism they have, some of these players, you know, it's incredible. Like I said, the product is, I don't think it's ever really been better. I mean, you're watching games now. There's so many good players, good teams, and you know, the draft is becoming stronger every year. So it's just a lot of fun to really follow the league and see these players and superstars doing their thing. So I can't wait, but I can't let you go, Neil, before we go talk a little bit about the offseason. You're going to have to tell me a little bit about your predictions, any big trade or the draft. Come on, tell me what's on your mind.
So I don't know, trade what? I just wrote a column this morning. So there'll be another big trade. We might not see it coming, but last year, no one saw Tyreek Hill coming. Nobody saw, well, maybe we saw Davante Adams a little bit. I don't think Lamar will stay with Baltimore. That's got too acrimonious, especially being his own agent. I genuinely don't know, but there's going to be a big one somewhere. And I think the Bears are going to give up the first pick. The first pick's for sale. So that's going to be a quarterback then. And you would know draft more. Is that Bryce Young? Is he head and shoulders above the rest?
Well, I wouldn't say he's head and shoulders. I think, again, he's such a good prospect. I mean, the thing that's holding him back is his height. And I think, again, he's probably maybe along C.J. Stroud. He's probably the one, as ready as they can be, but he's probably the most ready to play. I think if you draft Richardson, I think you'd want him to go somewhere. I'd love him for it to go to Seattle because he can take a bit of a redshirt year. If all goes well, Geno is the absolute ultimate, I wouldn't call him a bridge quarterback, but I think he can learn from him. And Alex Smith, you know, what used to do, Pat Mahomes.
Sure.
So I think Bryce Young will probably go number one. Who goes and gets him? I'd imagine it'll be the Colts. The Colts have to try and do something. I think they need a franchise quarterback. So I could see them going to one. And as you rightly say, the Bears have got so many holes in their franchise, in their team, that they could really use as many draft picks and good draft picks as they can. But I think some on the trade front, obviously Rodgers, Jets looks like a good one. Whether maybe the Panthers get involved, I don't know. They're in desperate need of a quarterback, and they've got a team ready to win almost. I think that division's wide open.
So I said at the Super Bowl to the guys, how about Rodgers to the Dolphins? Well, that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So we'll just end this by saying, how about Rodgers and Brady in the same division? Tom comes back for a year in Miami. Rodgers has his swan song in New York.
Couldn't make it up, could you? Yeah, and having to go to England as well. So, yeah.
And that's the NFL in a nutshell. You couldn't make it up. So we will keep our eyes on it for the rest of the off-season. Asmir, good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you, Neil. Come on. You're fighting up there. Help us out here. So
I said it. Good luck to you, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
There you are. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. We'll be back with another episode of the Neil Reynolds podcast very soon. Until then, my thanks to producer Gary Hayes, to Asmir, and especially to you for listening. Tell your friends all about the podcast, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast, brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.